Wonder if you could turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12, please. Exodus chapter 12. We're going to read about the blood tonight. Exodus 12, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh that night roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head and with his legs, with the prudence thereof. And ye shall let nothing remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn it with fire. And thus ye shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute my judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be unto you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Drop down with me, please, to the last part of verse 27. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. We'll read verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night. Now tonight I'd like to look at this little portion of scripture. And as I look upon my audience, I believe that most would have heard or read this portion of scripture before. It's a great story. It's a story of God's beginning. And you know, that was my first thing I like to look at this evening. We have here, as we read in verse 2, God's beginning. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. God's beginning. I'd like to ask a question to my audience this evening, and it is this. Have you had a beginning with God? You know, as I look back in my life, I can think of 16 years that I lived, and I never had a beginning with God. And you know, my friend, in those 16 years, if I had perished, if I had died as so many people in this world do, I would have been in a terrible place that the Bible speaks of as hell. Friend, that's a sad thing. As you consider that men and women and boys and girls, they go out and they die, as in San Francisco. They die and they perish, and some without God's salvation. Friend, have you had a beginning with God? You know, these children of Israel, they were in bondage. They were enslaved by an evil man. His name was Pharaoh. He was one of the leaders over Egypt. And you know, the more they worked for Pharaoh, the harder the bondage became. But you know, these people, they prayed to God. And they had a beginning with God. And you know, my friend, more than anything else in this world, first of all, you need to really realize who you are serving. You know, the Bible tells us very plainly and very simply that we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And we serve Satan. And the sooner that we find that out, my friend, the sooner we can realize that we need to begin with God and we need to serve Him. You know, God has a way. And we read of that tonight. And His way was through the Lamb. These children of Israel were instructed. They were to take this lamb out from the sheep and out from the goats. And you know, I believe that they didn't take that lamb to be scrutinized. I believe that that lamb came out from amongst those other animals and it was already perfect. And they were just to enjoy the very perfection of that animal. And you know, it speaks to me of that lovely one that came from heaven's glory. That one who sat enthroned and the very angelic beings of heaven worshipped Him. It says in Isaiah chapter 6 that the very train of His garments filled the entire place. It was a holy scene. And my friend, I marvel at God's way of salvation. God's way. He sent the man of glory down into this world. You know, it's a wonder, it's an awful wonder to me that that one could stoop so low. Not only come into this world, but to take up the body of a man. A marvelous thing, God manifest in the flesh. And here we see, as men watch Him, just like that lamb that was taken out from amongst those sheep, and from amongst those goats, they watched Him for 14 days, and they saw only perfection in that little animal. And as men and women and boys and girls, they looked upon that man from heaven and they watched him for those 33 odd years, they would only see in him perfect beauty, perfect balance, unspottedness, and cleansedness in the Lord Jesus. Friend, have you ever asked yourself why did He had to come? Why did He have to come from heaven's glory down to that lowly manger? Not a castle, not a fancy motel, but down to that lowly manger, for there was no room for Him in the inn. Men and women and boys and girls, they actually rejected that wonderful person, but this was God's way. It was a lamb without spot and without flesh. You know, there was a way that men could have assurance and that God could be satisfied. And we read about it and we sang about it already this evening. You know, maybe there was a young lad, maybe a Hebrew lad, and they would have watched that 14th day as Father went over and He took that lamb. And He brought it to maybe the front door of their house. And with the sharpened knife, He drew the knife across the throat of that innocent being. You know, there was no priest. There was no tabernacle. But Father took the lamb. And the blood flowed. You know, I marvel. As I consider that blood flowing into the basin, and I think of that young lad and how careful he would have been as he watched his father take that hyssop and dip it into the blood, into the two side posts, into the upper door post, that blood was applied. That young boy, that firstborn, he would have watched Dad awful close as that blood was applied. But you know, in 1989, there were those that know all about the Lamb. There are those that know that there is judgment coming. But there are many that leave the blood in the basin. You see, my friend, for God's sacrifice to be any good to you, you must have the blood applied. Let me explain it further for someone who's not familiar with things. If God sending His Son to die for sinners, it's not good enough that we realize that Christ died for sinners. The night that I was saved and the night that I applied the blood, the thing that I realized for the first time in my life being brought up in a Christian home and knowing many scriptures, I realized for the first time in my experience that Jesus died for me. Friend, you've got to take it personal. You'll never get to heaven until you realize that it was for your sin that Jesus died. And friend, you've got to get the blood out of the basin and onto the doorposts of your life. Jesus died for me. I know that. The brother I'm speaking with tonight, he knows that. And he may even refer to it. And there are many in this meeting that can go back to a date, a place, and a time, and maybe even a scripture out of the Word of God and say, this is the time and the place and the scripture that God saved me and I had a beginning with God. Friend, if you do nothing else in life, apply the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. What that means is, on that night, when that angel was to pass over that land of Egypt, and whether you were Hebrew or whether you were an Egyptian, it did not matter. You know, there could have been an Egyptian boy, and his father said to him many times, son, there is no God. But you know, that little Egyptian boy no doubt would have heard about what Moses and Aaron and the word from God. And maybe the young lad would go home to his father and say, father, haven't we got a lamb? The father would look at him maybe in mockery and say, son, there is no God. And the night would come, and the young lad would be nervous, and he would go to his father, and he would say, father, where's our lamb? And he would say, we have no lamb. And midnight would come, and the lad would be gone, for there was no blood. And father would come, and he would stoop, and he would pick up the still form of his firstborn. And God had judged. Friend, whether you believe it or not, judgment is coming. The scripture says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. It was an older man, in a Bermuda jungle. And this man was becoming very, very ill. And he came to his senses one day and he decided that he was going into town to see a doctor to see if he could get some help. And you know, the man weakly made his way to town, and he came to the doctor's door, and he went in and they sat down at the little office there, and the doctor was a believer. And you know, the doctor filled out the little prescription, and he was to go down to the drugstore, but he never told the man when to go. He gave the man the prescription, he told him very clearly, this is the prescription, this is the drug that will cure your condition. So the man, very simple man, he began to make his way home. And you know, he got a little ways down the road, and he began to ask himself, I wonder how soon I should take this drug. And he turned around and he went back to the doctor, and he asked the doctor, how soon do you think I should take this drug. And the doctor could kind of foresee things a little bit, and he saw that this would be an excellent opportunity in the gospel. And he looked at the man, and he smiled very carefully and very tenderly, and he said, "Well, maybe you should take it in about a month or two." And he sent the poor man away. You know, the man began to make his way to his home. And as he went on the way, he could feel the weakness in his bones and the weakness in his body. And he began to ask himself again, "If I wait a month, I wonder if I'll still be alive." And he turned around and he went back to the doctor and he asked the doctor again. He said, "Now look at here, doctor, if I wait a month, I could be dead and gone and it would all be too late." And the doctor said, "Well, then maybe you should just wait for a week and then take it." So the man began to make his way again towards home. And he didn't get very far when he stopped again and he said to himself, "If I wait a week, I could be dead and gone." So he went back to the doctor. And he sat down again at the doctor's office desk there, and he asked again, and he told him again his concern. And the doctor looked across at him and he said, "Well, why don't you go to the druggist right now and pick up that prescription and take it right now?" And you know, that would be my advice to you, my friend, is to take God's word and God's salvation. Don't wait 5 minutes, but take it right now. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." May the Lord bless you.